to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If you're expecting a little bundle of joy, do you have a birthing plan? Well, does it include a doula? You may ask, what is a doula? And more women are using them to help along the path to childbirth. Well, tonight for our Wellness Wednesday segment, we are taking a look at this growing service. My guests are Dr. Rashonda Mitchell, maternal fetal medicine physician with the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the Howard University College of Medicine, and Diane Young, Associate Director of the Family Health Service in Prince George's County. She is also a doula researcher. Lines are open. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Diane and Dr. Mitchell, thank you both for joining the conversation. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for allowing us to come.
Yes. Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
Diane, let me first start with you. Let's get some basics out of the way. What is a doula? What do they do?
Oh, doulas are childbirth workers, and they are non-medical professionals. They're not trained to do medical work. They provide emotional and physical support to birthing parents and women that are pregnant at different stages of their pregnancy, before they have the baby, during the pregnancy, during labor and delivery, and immediately after birth.
What does that support look like?
So it could be in a form of advocacy. So they're advocating that mom can have a birthing plan. I heard you mention a birthing plan early on. They're there to help mom actually institute her birthing plan, to communicate with the medical team to ensure that mom's voice is heard throughout labor and delivery and throughout the pregnancy. They also can provide educational support around childbirthing positions to make them more comfortable during the labor and delivery process, but they do not give medical advice.
Why would an expectant mother need that kind of assistance? It almost sounds, and I don't know, but it almost sounds like a good girlfriend during the expectant mother process.
I'm glad you asked that question, Harold. A good girlfriend is always great to have during labor and delivery, but she's not always there throughout the pregnancy, and you can't always count on her to be there. Doulas are there. They make this commitment to be there for the pregnant parent, the pregnant mother, throughout that process, to make sure that their voice is heard. Why you need that person is so that your voice is actually heard.
Mm-hmm. So now, what's the difference between a doula and a midwife?
Oh, it's a vast difference between a doula and a midwife. So a midwife is actually a registered nurse that has gone back to get additional training to become a midwife. So doulas don't do that. They get no professional training around medical anything. They are not certified. Midwives are. They go through the entire process for national certification. Doulas don't have that process.
Hmm. Dr. Mitchell, have you had any interaction with doulas at all?
Yes. We interact with doulas on a regular basis. Sometimes it's in the prenatal period. Sometimes it's during the intrapartum period while the woman is laboring. And sometimes it's in the postpartum period. And so we meet them, and they are there to support the woman through the process. So they act as advocates, because it can be scary having having a child, period. And then also just being there, and they can offer also physical support, like sometimes with position changes, mm-hmm. Massage. They are there to help you execute your birth plan.
Why would an expectant mother need a doula to advocate for them? I know on this program we have said for years and years and years and years, for any medical issue, that people, men and women, it doesn't matter, you need to be able to be your own best advocate for whatever health challenge you may have. But in this particular case, we have often stressed, and we've had experts who stress, that expectant mothers need to make sure that they are speaking up, speaking out, advocating for themselves. So why have a doula?
Okay, so we have turned to, as some people would say, the medicalization of delivery and of delivering infants at this point.
However, what does that mean?
That means that there are a lot of medical interventions in the birth process, but that may not always be the case. But let's go back. So you will need a advocate for you when you are, it doesn't matter the education level, because you can be a lawyer and not know anything about birthing a baby. Mm-hmm. You could be,
I don't know nothing about birthing a
baby.
Right,
right. So birthing a baby. So you could be a lawyer, you could be a professional, or you could be a first-time mom, a teen mom, and having that extra support in such a scary, time, because let's not forget, birthing a child, it really does have a big impact on the mother's physical body.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And because of that, you may not be in that stage where you are thinking clearly. You want to enjoy the process. You may be, in your zone with pushing. You may be exhausted during the labor process. So having somebody there that can execute your wishes and your plans is so important. So, it's about having an additional person there as a support person.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Wellness Wednesday conversation, and we are talking about doulas. Those people who help expectant mothers along the path to childbirth. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Diane, in addition to your position with the Family Health Service in Prince George's County, but you're also a registered nurse.
I am.
What interaction have you had with doulas, and how does one become one?
Oh, that's a great question. So prior to me working for the health department, I've held different positions in labor and delivery as a maternal and child health nurse, which is my first love.
So you've seen that whole thing.
Oh, I have. I have. The first time I saw a baby born when I worked at University of Maryland, I knew I made the right decision to become a nurse and do it within maternal and child health. But my interactions with doulas in the hospital setting has always been positive. When I first became a nurse in the early 90s, doulas were only for those that had money and could afford.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. It was a privilege to be able to afford a doula. And unfortunately, it was not those that looked like us that could afford to have a doula. But fast forward 30 years later, doulas are more widely available and more affordable to people. Medical assistance across several states will cover the cost of having a doula. How they get trained is through various organizations, like DONA, which is a international organization. But there are other local organizations in each state, like Mama Toto Village, which covers Maryland and D.C. and probably Virginia as well. But each state has some type of doula training. Unfortunately, there's no national standard, so people can pop up and say that they're a doula because nobody is regulating it. And it's such a wonderful profession. Research shows that having a doula increases your chances of having a happy, healthy pregnancy experience. Yet we don't have any standards to ensure that we're not having fly-by-night doula organizations pop up and basically hang out a shingle and say, we're a doula serving organization, hire our doulas.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds almost like the coaching phenomenon almost, where somebody can say, well, they are a financial coach, or they are a relationship coach, or mm-hmm. and And I know that there are people who go to get certified for coaching and the like, but again, it's just kind of all over the place.
It is absolutely all over the place. And when you're talking about birthing a baby, you really don't want something all over the place, because then you can have untoward outcomes when people are working outside of what they ought to be doing.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a Wellness Wednesday conversation. We are talking about doulas, the people who you hire to assist you along the birthing process if you are an expectant mother. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What, Dr. Mitchell, have been your expectations of a doula once you meet one with your patient?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would never ask a doula to work outside the scope of what they are supposed to be, what they are supposed to do. And one of those things would be as we incorporate them into the healthcare team. So you have your nurses that help administer medications, check on your patients, they chart, they do all of those things. However, your doula can constantly provide support in the room. So they can help you with pressure points to help reduce pain. They can help you stand. They can help you go to the bathroom. They can just be a shoulder for you to cry on during the labor process, or just to push you and coach you through the process. The physician is overlooking multiple patients at one time. And as Diane stated before, these services were initially only really, you know, available to people who could pay cash for them. But now we have a lot of programs who support availability for moms to have access to this service, because it is such a wonderful support service that I think should be incorporated. Because as we know in the health profession, you know, as a physician, I may be monitoring four or five women laboring at one time. I can't constantly be in the room during the entire labor process, because we all know labor can be short or it can be long. And I'm talking about hours. And so I can't be constantly available in the room and provide that emotional support for every patient. And nurses also have, you know, expectations and jobs and things that they must do, and provide medication services and support the infant after the infant is born. They have a lot of teaching that they do. I love to see doulas really incorporated into the medical team. So,
before I go to the phone lines, Diane, does the health department in Prince George's County have a resources for doulas, or anything that you would like to share for our listeners, where if they want additional information, they can reach out?
Not particularly for Prince George's County Health Department, but for the Maryland Department of Health. If they go to the Maryland Department of Health website and actually do a search for doulas, there will be 9 organizations listed there.
Nine.
That the state has vetted as okay to provide doula services to our medical assistance population.
Interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's a Wellness Wednesday conversation. We're talking about doulas tonight. And as always, that information that Diane just shared will be on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight. I'll find the link and put it up there for you. Let me go to Nakia. Nakia calling from Rockville. Nakia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I am actually a postpartum doula, and I serve the D.C. metro area, and I just heard you guys talking about birth doulas. I just called to offer a different perspective of when baby and mom and dad come home.
Go right ahead, please.
I love my sisters that are birth doulas, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about what we do.
Well, you've got a minute. Go right ahead. I'll give you a minute. Go right ahead.
Okay. Nobody really talks about, because after you leave the hospital and the nurses and everybody loves up on you, then it's like you get home and it's like, now what do we do? And we're exhausted because we just went through that whole process. So Postpartum doulas, they can come during the day, and they can, you know, kind of be extra hands, the same as, you know, auntie or grandma would. But they are, you know, they've had training and are professionals, and make sure your experience is what you want. Or you can, sometimes I go into homes and I just let mom and dad rest. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Let me ask you something, Nakia, real quick before I let you go. So how do you charge for your services? What might a Nakia postpartum doula cost?
I charge, for my services, I charge $40 overnight.
Okay.
$40 overnight. And you can, you know, a la carte it, whichever way you want to do that. And then during the day, I want $35 an hour.
An hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you take insurance, or have you had any interaction with insurance companies that pay for those kinds of services?
Yes, I do. I offer Medicaid, and I'm in the press. It's kind of tricky because the agency that you get certified with, sometimes insurance agencies are particular about that. But so far, I am certified through Medicaid.
Interesting. Nakia, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. I really appreciate your time. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a Wellness Wednesday conversation. We are talking about doulas tonight for those women who are on the path to giving birth or postpartum assistance. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. Aisha calling from Temple Hills, and Jaquel, I hope I pronounced that correctly, calling from Maryland. We're going to talk to you next. Please do not hang up the phone. You will be able to hear the program. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. For tonight's Wellness Wednesday segment, we're looking at the growing trend of doulas for expectant mothers. My guests are Dr. Rashonda Mitchell, maternal fetal medicine physician with the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at the Howard University College of Medicine, and Diane Young, Associate Director of Family Health Services in Prince George's County. That is with the Prince George's County Department of Health. She's also a doula researcher. If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Aisha. Aisha calling from Temple Hills. Thanks for calling, Aisha. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good.
How are you?
Good. I just wanted to, give my kind of advocacy for doulas. I had a doula when my son was born, and it was especially helpful because, let's just say, my partner wasn't the most helpful. So it was nice to have somebody who knew what was going on, knew what to expect, knew how to guide me through it. And I heard somebody mentioning earlier that, you know, you can be a professional and know a lot about a lot of different things, but not know a lot about birthing a child. And that was me. So I had the doula there with me. It ended up, our birth plan didn't go as planned, which is pretty common. And
you mean the baby wasn't paying attention?
Baby didn't get the memo.
I guess not. Please go right ahead. So.
And so the doula was able to help me navigate through that change, because it was, again, just a drastic change from what we had expected, and I was disappointed. But the doula was like a cheerleader, a constant sort of source of support during the whole ordeal, and I'm glad that I opted to work with one. In terms of finding one that was affordable, I just searched around the internet, and I'm sure there are a lot more companies that offer services and things now, but they had something where you could kind of get you could pay a lesser charge for a doula, let's say, that had, I'm not sure what the requirement was, but a lesser tier and the number of hours that they had, as opposed to one that maybe had the highest number of hours that they had worked. Somebody who was, I guess, kind of right below that, their rate was a little bit lower. So you still had access to somebody who was qualified to do what they were doing, but it was like getting an associate versus a partner at a law firm.
Let me ask you a question. Why did you decide to select a doula?
It was my first child. I had read the books and done this and done that, but ultimately I was a little apprehensive about how it was going to feel and what was going to happen and how I was going to react to things. And so it was nice to have somebody by my side that wasn't freaking out as much as I was.
I guess what I'm asking is, how did you know to look for a doula?
Oh, I just heard friends talking about them.
It's
word of mouth. I also had a friend that used to be a doula. Unfortunately, she was out of state, but she was a doula, and of course, I heard great things about her. So, yeah, it was word of mouth.
Mm, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Aisha, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. I appreciate your phone call. Both of my guests are nodding their head. Dr. Mitchell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think what the previous two callers were so important. So I think, as I stated before, you can have a doula before you go into delivery. That's what we call the prenatal experience. You can have them intrapartum, which is during the labor process when you're on labor and delivery, and postpartum, because as she said, I think having that community of support after you have the baby is so important. You're tired. You're feeding every 2 to 3 hours. Your body just went through a major change, and now you're on a different sleeping schedule. Babies don't quite come with books, you know, so having somebody who is there to support you during that process is so important. And it seems you keep going back to a very important point is that one of the things I think doulas can do to help advocate for patients is, we know that right now we're going through a crisis with maternal morbidity and mortality on the rise here in the United States. And so in some institutions, not all, they can be an advocate for the patients and advocate for their desires and what they want and feel like their voices are being heard. As the mom stated before, you can kind of be in the throes of labor, and it may not be that you don't have a partner. Your partner could be there, but they don't know how to advocate for you during that time. This is the first time they're probably seeing such a wonderful experience, is what I will say. And so sometimes they don't know where to add their support. I have seen men pass out in the
really?
In the labor and delivery
room.
Wow.
And okay.
So having somebody there, they're terrified too, to support you during that time is essential. And then we do have moms who don't have partners or family.
Right.
They could be out of state. They are to support them during this very life-changing experience. So I think it's important that we do acknowledge the span of this. And as I was speaking with Diane before, I actually seen a doula at an abortion clinic, believe it or not. And they were there for the support of the woman during that difficult point when they were there, having to deal with such a difficult time and make these decisions for whatever reason the birthing person chooses to have those services. So I think understanding that we can all play an essential role in helping us become better at providing a birthing experience for our birthing people.
Diane.
It's such a vulnerable time in a birthing person's or a woman's life. Having that support when you have pregnancy brain, because pregnancy brain is real.
Pregnancy
is.
Brain?
Oh, yes, oh, Sarah, pregnancy brain.
Wait a minute. What is pregnancy brain?
You do not function in the same mental capacity throughout pregnancy as you do normally. You just don't. The hormones kick in. You don't think clearly. You're very emotionally charged, mm-hmm. more than usual. So having an
I said
I'm a mother of twins, so I've been
oh,
there.
Oh, wow.
I've
and
been
no gray
there.
Hair.
I had plenty. It's called Miss Clairol. my poor husband, if I had had a birthing doula, a pre-labor doula, any type of doula, I would have had a different pregnancy experience. I was high risk. I did not think clearly. There were questions that I would have asked if I had somebody else to advocate for me other than my husband who sat in the corner not wanting to break anything. So
that's often
what men do. They kind of sit there and they become stoic because the woman in their life is very vulnerable right now. And what can they do? They can't help her birth that baby. No matter what you want to do, that baby's only coming out of mama.
Here, have some ice chips. That's about all you got, really, right? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jaquel, is that the... Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Thank you so much. What's on your mind?
I was calling because, similar to the young lady that called a little bit earlier, I'm a postpartum doula. So I don't have anything to do with your birth, but I can help you plan for your postpartum period, so the fourth trimester. So before you even have the baby, we can sit down and talk about the different things you want to do when the baby arrives. You know, where is baby going to sleep? How are you going to feed baby? Do you want visitors? Do you not want visitors? You know, things that people may not really think about as they're planning for their birth. And then I just come in the home either during the day or overnight to help you out and support you as you're adjusting to being a new parent.
When did you decide to do this, and how long have you been doing this?
So I graduated from college during the pandemic, and part of my degree, I studied human development, and I've always enjoyed working with families and children. So as I was just looking through, you know, jobs and finding different things to do professionally, I came across the certification and I immediately fell in love. And then I've been a doula since January of 2021. So a little over 2 years I've been doing this and I love it. It's awesome. I meet different people. I get to interact with so many different people. I get to be with babies and snuggle with babies, and I mean, you can't beat that.
Mm-hmm. How did you become a doula? I mean, is there a certification? Did you take a class or classes? Or how did that happen?
Yes. So you have to take a course. So you're supposed to be trained. I know that they briefly talked about that there's, like, no regulations around it. So I am certified. I certified through ProDoula, but I did my training with DONA. So I did an 3-day online virtual because it was during the pandemic, unfortunately. I know they're starting to do in-person trainings again, but it was 3 days where we essentially learned how to be a doula. Mm. And then from there, we can kind of go out and, you know, start working with families from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. One more question for you, because I often wonder, since you're talking about, you know, postpartum doula services and advocating for the mother and, in one sense or another, the baby and the like, how do you deal with family when they step in, as they often do after a child is born, particularly after the first child, and the new grandmother or the new grandfather would, I can only imagine them saying, well, who are you? and why are you here? And we didn't have this when our daughter was born. And so how do you deal with that issue?
So most of the families that I've actually worked with, it seems that it's more common that families are moving away from family. So I've actually not had many interaction with, like, grandparents or family members that are, you know, in the home and kind of like, why are you here? But the few times that I have, I just talk with the parents and see what it is that they want, because that's what's really important. And most parents will tell you, like, I don't want family here, or I do want family here. Family are here. I don't want them holding the baby, or, you know, I want you to take baby upstairs. I try to have those sort of conversations with the parents prior. And then I kind of become the person who can say, like, well, you know, this is kind of what they want right now as they're, you know, trying to bond with baby and figure out things for themselves. So that's why it's important to really think about your, you know, postpartum, how you want things to go before having the baby. So you don't have to, you know, be reactive when the uncomfortable moments with family or friends, you know, show up.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your insight. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Meedy calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Meedy. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Fisher. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
Listen, I wanted to ask a question, Harold, and say thank you so much for your guest this evening. As a registered nurse myself, I wanted to just share and ask a question very specifically. If your guest would not mind speaking to health disparities and a historical issue of Black maternal infant health and why it is so imperative that we embrace doulas and the like to really ensure that particularly African-American women have an opportunity to be heard, to be seen, and to have a safe and healthy birthing pregnancy. Mississippi, as we all know, is a very predominantly Black state. They have a huge, huge infant mortality rate, 82 deaths per 1,000. And so that rate is significantly higher. And also, even here in the district, we all know that our infant mortality rate is very high. So I would love to see if they wouldn't mind sharing their thoughts about that. Thank you so much for having me.
Ladies, whoever.
Sure. Thank you for that question. So we know that the socioeconomic status of individuals has an impact on their birth outcome, and that can be regardless of their income. It really can, regardless of their education. The social determinants of health is what we refer to it as, and it plays a crucial role in shaping the opportunities and resources that are available to people widely in their communities and across the nation. And where you live can determine your birth outcome. As the young lady just spoke about, the abysmal maternal and infant mortality rates. Infant mortality rates have gone down historically over the past couple of years as the maternal mortality rate has continued to climb, regardless of where people live, work, and play. And in my research, I have also seen that Black women in particular, the more education they have, the greater risk they are of dying during pregnancy.
Why is that?
That's a good question, Harold. That's part of why I'm doing the research.
That's counterintuitive.
It is. Because education should be a protective factor, but when it comes to the Black woman, it's not a protective factor, and that's what the research speaks to us, which is why doulas are even more important, why there needs to be some regulation around it to ensure that we get the quality of services that all women deserve. Now, you don't want it to be over-regulated where people don't come into the field, but there needs to be some type of standardization.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Dr. Mitchell.
Yeah, one of the things I was going to say is that we all know the maternal morbidity and mortality disparities are very important. So let's start at the beginning. In the early 1900s, there were about literally 700 deaths, maternal deaths per 100,000. That has dramatically decreased due to science, due to procedures and technology and birthing in the hospital. Okay. So right now, I think the United States is overall is a lot lower. However, in the last 4 to 5 years, the rate has increased. Okay. And that means that there is literally a disparity in between different races. So if we break it down, you have, I want to say, non-Hispanic white women and non-Hispanic Black women. Non-Hispanic Black women are 3 times more likely to die after childbirth or during childbirth. Okay, so that's the first thing. That is the disparity that we are trying to really diminish, because yes, it is increasing, but Black women are dying more during that time. And so I think that it's important. There are a lot of things that contribute to that. And as Diane said, education is not really protective for Black women. I myself had a traumatic birth experience. And one of the things you have to understand is that Black women are some of the most highly educated people in America. So we are waiting till later to have children. So with age also comes some chronic comorbidities and things that come along that people are maybe at risk for when they go into pregnancy. Okay, so these are things such as diabetes, high blood pressure, overweight. All these things can add to or increase your risk. So we have to look at the total picture of everything that goes on. Now, is there a systemic, I would like to say it's not race or race, it's racism. It's systemic racism that really contributes to some of the preventable deaths that we have. And everybody knows. One of the things that the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists over the last couple of years have really been promoting is listening to your patients. Mm-hmm. Whenever they tell you something is wrong, they do not feel well, can you check? Listen to your patients. And sometimes in medicine, we have a paternalistic type of view. And so I think really the whole medical field is really trying to turn away from that. I know at least the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have really done a really big campaign on just listening to your patient. And part of that, that's where we get that whole advocating, because we know there are some big figureheads and names out there that have had issues being heard by others or physicians about their medical needs, and they could have ended in a maternal mortality or morbidity associated with that birth. So that's why having an additional advocate and someone to support you during those most important and crucial times are so essential. And so that's why I think it's important that we continue to do this work. We work as a team as we try to decrease this maternal morbidity and mortality.
Meedy, thank you so much for participating in the conversation. I appreciate your time. That, anecdotally speaking, the thing that you mentioned, Dr. Mitchell, about age, that makes a great deal of sense, particularly as you, when you reference, you know, Black women and women who are delaying having children because of getting additional education or going into their career fields and all of that, where, and I'm a man, what do I know? But, you know, but yes, you know, we, you know, when teenagers or young teenagers, when they come on their cycle, that's essentially saying, okay, you're ready. Okay. But as you get, you know, you get older and all kinds of things come into play as you get older, you know, the muscles, your muscles at 30 aren't what they were when they were at 17 or 18. And so again, anecdotally speaking, that, that just makes a lot of sense. And, you know, again, during those very first childbirthing year, birthing years, everything is new. Mm-hmm. You know, the body is still, air quotes, new, mm-hmm. as opposed to someone who decides they're going to have their first child at 40. Ain't nothing new at 40. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that, and so I can see how just age alone might be a difficult hill to climb, in addition to some of the other disparities as well as the comorbidities that you're talking about. So Thank you for explaining that.
You know, one of the things I want to say is that with age does come wisdom. So there is some benefit to waiting until you get a little bit older to have kids.
But just does the body know about this wisdom?
Well, it doesn't.
Because that's pregnancy brain.
It's even worse than.
Right, because you know, look, you may be wise between the ears, but below the neck, your body is still 35 or 40 or 45. And if you're still, as opposed to having a child at 18 or 21 or 25, mm-hmm. does that wisdom trump the age?
Well, it all depends on your support system too, because you also have to be in a place where you can support a child, because we all know it's not just about having the child, it's about raising a child. If we're going to be responsible, you need to have your finances, you need to have a house, you need to be able to put this child through school.
But I'm only talking about
just the physical.
Yeah, just the physical and the life or death issues, you know. Yeah, I agree with that, but when we're talking about
women dying in childbirth or after that? That's what I meant.
I'll be honest with you. It really depends on your total health.
Okay.
Because now I see 25, 20-year-olds with diabetes, hypertension, and obesity.
Yes.
So that it's not just about the age. It's how well you are
taking care of yourself.
You're taking care of yourself yeah. going into the pregnancy, because that will minimize, not eliminate, some of your risk that can be associated with poor outcomes in pregnancy.
And that's where the social determinants of health come in.
Yes.
So regardless of your age, if you are born into poverty and cannot pull yourself out of it, you're not having access to proper preventative health care. So your life takes this trajectory that it should not take just because you were born into poverty.
Mm. Fascinating. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ishe, calling from D.C., did I get your name correctly?
Close enough. Ishe, how are you?
Ishe, okay, thank you so much. What's on your mind?
So I just wanted to say I had a doula. It was an amazing experience with a doula. I really feel like it should be mandatory for Black women in America to have a doula. You know, I'm educated. I'm not in the poverty spectrum. I was a little older mom, not because I put off my career to have a child or anything, but just because, you know, I was looking for the for Mr. Perfect.
And okay. Did you find that?
Close to it.
Okay, well, we'll bring you back for another show about that. But anyway, please continue your point.
But no, I was just going to say that it was just amazing. She was not just physically supportive, but she was emotionally supportive. She was mentally supportive. You know, I was going through a lot at that time, and I didn't have postpartum, but I had whatever that feeling is that people feel after. I felt that while I was pregnant. So it was hard. And so having a doula, I'm telling you, it was my saving grace. And like I said, I think every single Black woman in America, regardless of their educational background, should have a doula. It could save your life.
Hmm.
So that's all I had to say.
Well, thank you so much for adding that to the conversation. I appreciate your phone call. Absolutely. I do want to go back to something that the doula who called in said, and I got to give some pushback about how they will interact with family members. I don't see that happening. And I'm just looking at my family. Mm-hmm. There is no way that you can have this person who, okay, they can be with you from the beginning of the second trimester all the... But I can see my mother saying, I don't know you, and this is my child. And, you know, so there's got to be some way to balance that, because I can just see all kinds of problems with that after the baby is born.
Absolutely. That's why it's really important to establish the role of the doula up front. And as the doulas that have come on talked about, they have a different role. Some are throughout the pregnancy, some are during labor and delivery, and then the postpartum doula. Because our family would have the same problem, because I'm a grandmother. I was there at the birth, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't want anybody interfering with that relationship.
And you're a doula researcher. So
absolutely, absolutely.
So you would say... Bye, because I know this. See?
I would, but I would also speak to my daughter to know what her wishes were, because it's really about the birthing person to establish their wishes. So part of what doulas do very well is to communicate with people. So if we have your mom, Harold, it's I know it all, or me, I know it all.
Exactly.
She's going to have that establishment with grandma, period, for things to work. You're not going to step on grandma's toes, because she knows what she wants to do. But you have to always go back to mommy or the birthing parent to find out what they really want, so you can negotiate where you fit in, because you want to fit in. You're not there to take over anything.
Mm-hmm. When should a doula begin? Under the best circumstances, let us assume that paying for the services is not an issue. when should a mother or couple, for that matter, employ the services of a doula?
Well, I think it's like establishing a pediatrician. You really need to start looking before you even get pregnant, to start establishing a relationship with someone before you hire them, because this is one of the biggest steps in your life. You're going to give birth to a human being. So you want to establish a wonderful relationship. So if you can do that research ahead of time to see which organization you'd like to link to get a referral to a doula, and then interview doulas. Which ones fit your personality? Which ones are willing to fit into your life and what you want to have for your birthing plan and what works for you and your family? And if you can't do it that far in advance, you do it along the way as you find the need. You find out you're pregnant, you get a doula. If you don't have one throughout the pregnancy and you find out that you need one postpartum, you get the postpartum doula, because they have a value throughout the pregnancy. Postpartum doulas have a tendency to really help increase breastfeeding rates, which is really good for babies. So there's a value throughout the pregnancy.
So at what point do you separate from a doula, a postpartum doula? Baby's born, is this 1 month, 2 months, 6 months?
It could be up to 12 weeks postpartum. You're getting ready to go back to work at 8 weeks, around 8 weeks. So, and the baby is getting ready to go to daycare if it's a working mom. So around 12 weeks is about average.
Interesting. I only have about a minute left. Dr. Mitchell, I'll let you have the last word, your final thought.
No, thank you for having us on the show. This is such an important topic, and I think we need to start having more conversations about things like this in with our community, so that they understand what a doula is, what services are available, and what role they play in childbirth. Because I think we all need to continue to play our part and help reduce this maternal morbidity and mortality.
Do whatever you can to have not only healthy babies, but
healthy
mothers as well.
Yes.
Absolutely. Dr. Rashonda Mitchell and Diane Young, thank you so much for sharing this. I learned something. I learned something today, definitely. So I appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, July 5th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.